came as a freshman when I was 18, and Coach was 32 coaching. I was on his first team. And I met him in April and had an opportunity to come to Eastern. And I've been here this whole time since then. So I've had, I worked with the cheerleaders for all those years. So I went to every away game for probably 20 years. So I had a long-term relationship with Coach in one ways. I was having been a player and a manager and then a graduate assistant. And then here at Eastern employed for all those years. It was so I had a unique opportunity to be, not daily, but as time went on, less and less as I did things. But it was always a contact with him, always during football season and everything. The coach was a mentor to so many people, and I'm getting all these feedback now. Everybody's reflecting on the times, and I had an email from one of our players yesterday, a text, because I've been talking to him about the situation, and he kind of broke down the fact of how much Coach meant to him. And just for example, when he came, Coach, and this particular guy came back one time and talked to Coach, said, "Coach, what can I ever do to repay you?" And Coach just looked at him and said, "Just be a good man. Just be a good man. Just be a good man in life." And that's pretty much Coach. And you reflect that, and I've been seeing him quite a bit, and you have that time for reflection. You know, you see that transition from mentor to coach and things, and Coach kept in contact with so many players, and they with him, because when you coach 39 years somewhere, the relationship, we all have the same thing in common with, we had the same head coach, and that's never going to happen again for that period of time for anybody. It's an unusual situation. The 39 years, over,
you could get worse and worse.
Over 1,200 players, 60, 70 coaches. I mean, when we did the wall, there was that many names. There were like 1,400 names associated with the coach, players, coaches, graduate assistants, managers. There was over 1,300, 1,400, maybe almost close to 1,500 people their part that had a direct correlation that Coach had impact on their life. And that's what I reflect on now, just knowing that, it was not an intentional thing. It was just Coach. And it was Coach Kidd, and he's that way to everybody, and he never... He had a great sense of humor with everything, but he was all business. And when it came to Western, you might as well forget it. he and Jimmy Fikes were good friends, but he hated Western. And even now, you can get him fired up with Western. So it's unique. So much time for reflection, because with Coach being ill and going through all the stuff he's going through, you spend some time with him. You reflect some good memory about things and a great sense of humor. All summer he's been growing his tomato. We've been watching his tomatoes grow, and as I go in to see him, I take pictures of him to show him his tomatoes. He planted two plants, and he keeps thinking we need to plant more. But he really, really is Coach Kidd. Early in his career, our first team in '64 was his first losing team. I think he had a 3-5 record or something like that, but that was it. And that was the same group that the Rice Bowl team that I think at the time that we went to the Rice Bowl, that of the 22 starters, 11 of them were walk-ons started with. I mean, he developed players, and he had all American, 60-some All-Americans, and I mean, he developed players and developed people, but the main thing he developed, I think, was character. He really emphasized it, didn't preach it, but he taught it by example, the character. Coach was family, football, and Eastern. If you want to say three things about Coach, that's what I would say a thing. And family, football, and Eastern. And he loved all three, and he's tight with all of them. Back in those days, I mean, Coach, all the coaches early in his career, they had up until 2000, they had to teach as well as coach. That's unheard of. I mean, all the coaches, you hire an assistant, you have to have a master's, so you can teach his class. That was really a handy. No other place that had to do that. I mean, they had to teach classes. One or two classes. I mean, then they have to go in there and do their coaching. And I know for a fact they'd be over there when I was a graduate assistant. They'd be over there. I'd go over there late at night, and that's the old-time reel had going on. That was just flopping. Somebody would fall asleep at the table and just going around and around. There were a lot of hours. And people never see that part. But he found that Florida pipeline early in his career. And we had many Florida kids playing here. But he knew how to recruit. He could recruit, and he could – you wanted to play for him, there weren't a lot of options. When you came here, you understood what the role was, and you understood what tradition was. For example, the Cabin on the Hill. Now, that's a good old Appalachian song, but right now it's a rap song, you know. But it's saying, so the guys from the 60s would go here, what is that? But you still do, you know. And but they do it that, a different way, but it's still our tradition, and they do it now still.
So I know it's a player from Eastern Kentucky. I've forgotten the name that started Cabin on the Hill.
Paul Hampton. We were coming back from Marshall, 1960. Forgive me, it might have been not 55 or 65 or 66. And we came back, and Paul is a real country. He's an Appalachian guy. I talked to him yesterday, and he got up, started singing it, and we'd beat Marshall. Jim Geis had pulled something out of the air, and he and Aaron Marshall, we did some things. We weren't supposed to win. And he started singing that way back, and so every time we won a game, you know, we started singing it, and that was not, it could have been, I think it was 65 or 66, I don't know, you know. But I know when I came Eastern, I was 18 and Coach was 32. I'm 77, he's 91. So, and it's been, you know, it's been, and it went by fast. And you never thought of Coach not being here. It was never a thought because he was always here. You know, that's the advantage of him being here 39 years, staying on as an ambassador for Eastern, and, you know, he stayed in and helped with the development. I mean, he was still working up until a year or two ago, coming in, going to events and doing things on behalf of the university. Anywhere you go, it's Roy Kidd. I mean, anybody who's ever a student in the 70s, 80s, you know, up into the 90s, I mean, that part too, it was Roy Kidd. Roy Kidd, you know, part of it. And it was unique in his family, and, you know, Sue, his wife, was right there with him. She never saw a whole game. She couldn't stand and watch the whole game. She'd always be up in the, walking in the back part of up in Begley, walking in the, or Roy Kidd Stadium now, but walking back the hallways. It just got nerve wracking for him, but they were a very close family. After every game, when early in his family, he's from a large family, brothers and sisters. I mean, Ray was his brother, and he had several sisters. But every home game, right after the game, they all go to his house, the whole family. I mean, they lived out in Deacon Hills, and I lived there now too. But after every game, family was there, you know. Now, when Old Hanger Field, there was four houses down on the end where Wallace Building is now. There were four houses right down there where Wallace Building is now. Coach had one, that was part of his pay at the time. And it's right there on Hanger Field. And that was home, and they would all go there too. Then he moved out to Deacon Hills and lived there for a lot of years. But after every game, it wasn't out to celebrate. He was with the family, with his family.